Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's turn to that passage that must be very familiar to us by now, Matthew chapter 21. We're thinking of the two sons. The two sons who present to us a picture of all those who have the privilege of hearing the gospel. There's only two types of hearers, and they're represented by these two sons. We spent a little time looking at the first son. Remember him? He says, and we have his answer to his father's request, indeed command, to go and work today in his vineyard. Verse 28, he answered in verse 29, I will not, but afterward repented and went. We've looked at him. And he pictures for us what I think I can call the minority of people who hear the gospel. At the first he said no, very open, very defiant. But afterward, a change was wrought in him. He changed his mind. His heart was changed. The direction of his life was changed because he had undoubtedly gone away from the vineyard. But now he turned right round. Remember I gave you the illustration of the soldier responding to command about turn? Well, he did an about turn. He repented and he went and obeyed his father. I tell you, they're the minority. Those who do what is pictured here in the actions of this first son are the minority. By far, those who hear the gospel act like the second son, and we're going to look at him. Verse 30 says, and he came to the second and said likewise. He heard the same word as the first son, go work today in my vineyard. It was an affectionate command, for he said in verse 28, son, go work today. It was an affectionate command. He didn't just order him in an offhand fashion, as if he were not related, just a worker. No, he spoke to him as a father to a son, both the first and the second son. And the response of the second son was, I go, sir, and went not. Do you see that in your Bible, in verse 30? I go, sir. Do you notice the word go is in italics? And you know what that means, don't you? It means that our translators put in that word go in order to bring out the meaning of the original statement, which was in Greek. But in order that you might know that the word go is not in the original Greek, they put it in italics. Our translators were godly men, and they wanted to be as honest as they possibly could with their readers. So the word go was added there to bring out the meaning. But if we were to set aside the word go, he answered with one word. Aye. There's a very similar phrase used in this part of the world. Instead of yes, oftentimes we just say, aye, isn't that right? Maybe we get chided a bit, as it's not that particularly polite, but at the same time, I wouldn't like to see its use completely abandoned. I wouldn't like us all to end up speaking like some BBC newsreader with that polished English. I would like to see the old phrases and the old accents retained. So we use this, I, meaning yes. I go, yes, I go. But then it says he went not. The second son is very like something that we heard about on the Lord's Day. For the preacher, in the evening time, took up the parable of the sower. And he talked about the seed that fell on stony ground. How it sprang up immediately, before any of the other seeds, those that fell in good ground. And this second son is like the seed that falls in stony ground. There was this immediate, positive reaction. I go! He went not. Remember what it says about seed in the stony ground? You can turn back to Matthew chapter 13 and the verses 20 and 21, and there you will read, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth or endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And like the seed springing up in the stony ground, when the sun comes up with its heat, withers away. Well, the preacher did explain why there was this sudden growth by the seed that fell in the stony ground faster than the seed that fell in the good ground. And of course the reason is, when seed, any seed, is planted, it does two things. Two things. It grows down and it grows up. But if it's in stony ground, just a light layer of soil over rock, it can't grow down. And so all the energy in the seed grows upward, but there's no root to sustain it. And so when the sun comes up, because it has no root, drawing moisture and sustenance from the soil, because there's no root, it just withers away under the heat of the sun. And that's just like the second son. He says, I go. They went not. Because you see, there was no depth to the decision he made. It was a shallow thing. It was not a fixed, firm, settled decision. Something over which he pondered, thought about, then said, yes, I'll go. No, he just instantly said, yes, without really giving any thought to the matter. In Psalm 108, the psalmist says, it was David, in the opening verse, he says, O God, my heart is fixed. The disposition of my heart, the inclination of my heart, the direction of my heart, it's fixed. Not wavering about, not going in one direction and then turning and going in another direction. It's fixed. And it's fixed upon the Lord. His affection was fixed, attached to the Lord, and it wouldn't shift or alter or change. The very opposite to this second son's heart. I go! But then he went not. He went not. There was no root to that decision. No depth whatsoever. I wonder what made him change his mind. His father said, go. He said, I go, sir. But he went not. Why did he not go? I wonder, was it because of the voice of friends? Where are you going? You're going to work? I thought we were going out for a day's fun. Why are you going to work? Just because your father says it. Come on with us. And he changed his mind, and he went with his friend. Is that what happened? Could have been. I remember just after I was saved, I never forget this little incident, and I've often referred to it. I was going down to Dr. Paisley's church on the Ravenhill Road. I was walking down, and as I was walking down a street called My Lady's Road, it comes down and it meets the bottom of the Ravenhill Road just 15-20 yards from where Dr. Paisley's church is. And I was coming near the junction of My Lady's Road and the Ravenhill Road, and I met a group of lads, about my own age, four of them. And as I went past, the Lord said to me, invite those fellows in. Well, I immediately did that which is more than normal amongst Christians. I said, oh Lord, no, I couldn't ask them. They wouldn't be interested, Lord. And I started to argue with the Lord. As I was doing that, of course, I was walking on. But I really didn't take too many steps until I realized I've got to stop. So I turned round and I went back and I said, fellas, I'm going down to hear Dr. Paisley preach. Would you like to come? And immediately, one of them said, yes, I'd like to go. But as soon as he said that, another one of them sort of snorted and laughed and turned his back and began to walk away. And the lad who said, yes, I'd like to go, he began to change. His face had lit up at the invitation, but now it became clouded. And then he said, well, no. He began to snigger, just like his friend. He said, no, I don't want to go. No, not at all. And off they went. I wonder, was it the laugh of a friend that made the second son change his mind? I say the laugh of a friend. That fella was no friend. Did the most wicked thing he possibly could do, persuading a companion to turn their back upon the gospel. When tribulation or persecution ariseth, we read that in Matthew 13. That's what it means by the sun rising and withering the seed that had fallen on stony ground. The sun speaks of persecution and tribulation because of the word. Listen, boys and girls. One thing God is ever toward you, and that is honest. He never hides the fact that if you follow me, obey the gospel, you run into trouble. The Lord never hides that. This world is full of advertising. People pushing products upon the general public, saying, oh, this product is wonderful, wonderful. And if you get it, you will find great satisfaction, great help. You'll wonder how you ever did without it before. That's common. The only thing is this, more often than not, it's a lie. It's a lie. And when you get the product, it's not at all as good as the advertisements claim. But God never, never hides from those who hear the gospel, the truth. And in that parable, in Matthew 13, we're told that tribulation and persecution comes because of the word. If you stand by the word of God, if you seek to obey the word of God, you will be picked upon, targeted by the devil and by all those who follow his promptings. Listen to what we read in Acts chapter 8 and the verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. That was the death of the first Christian martyr. And the man Saul of Tarsus was in agreement with that death, took part in it. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Because of the word. Because they had embraced the gospel. Because they said, we believe what God says. Because of that persecution. And God doesn't hide this from us. And I have a notion that something like that, you see, happened to the second son here that we're looking at.
He said, I go, sir.
But then something happened to change his mind.
You're not seriously going there, are you? Spending your day in the vineyard working. You don't need to work. Come on, we're going out for a day's fun and laughter. Come on, come with us. Be a fool. Don't waste your life.
It's an old argument, and I suggest that that's what happened to this second son. He turned. You know, boys and girls, the Christian is someone who needs to have Christ dwell in their hearts by faith. And as Paul writes to the Ephesians chapter 3 in the verse 17, being rooted and grounded in love. And we see the love of God presented in the gospel. What the Savior has done for us. Our hearts are swayed mightily. And we're fixed upon God. And we set out to obey him, and nothing's going to turn us from obedience. Because we see what God has done for us. And we're not going to be taken in by the lies of the devil. That's what a Christian is. Someone who is rooted and grounded in the love of God. The first son, you see, we'll come back to him for a moment. He realized the sinfulness of his decision. He said, I will not. But then he thought about it. I'm sure he thought, well, that wasn't a very proper way to speak to my father. That's not showing him due regard. After all, everything I have, it's my father who gave it to me. It's not very proper. It's most offensive to speak to my father like that and to disobey him. Indeed, it's shameful. I'm sure he remembered too that God doesn't approve of children who defy their parents. That's an offense to God. Do you remember that, boys and girls? Do you remember that? When you find yourself defying a parent, maybe there's no outward show, although in truth it's always seen. Mommy and daddy with their loving kindness towards you sort of can't bring themselves to say, you know, I think there's a bit of defiance in that heart of my daughter or my son. They're too tender toward you to notice it on your face. A little hardening of your expression. But whether father or mother notices it or not, God sees it. It's a serious matter to defy your parents. And I have a feeling that the first son was changed in his view because he realized what I've just done is so wrong. Listen to me as I quickly read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21, and I want you to see just how serious a matter it is to defy parents and refuse to obey. Deuteronomy chapter 21, and we're looking at the verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, and the best of fathers can have such stubborn and rebellious son or daughter, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them till they have dealt with the disobedience, but it doesn't make any difference. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place, the rulers of his city. They bring him along, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That's pretty stern, isn't it? This was God's law in a day when he ruled as king in Israel. And disobedience amongst children was not to be tolerated. Father and mother had not only to chasten the child that did wrong, but if they continued to do wrong, they were to bring them to the elders, the magistrates, and say, this our son, he won't pay any heed, and he was to be put to death. Do you know why? Because like a germ, his rebellion, if it wasn't dealt with, would spread to other boys and girls, sons and daughters, until there was a real bout of rebelliousness amongst the people. And it would ruin the place. So God says, just as you would cut out disease from a body, so the death penalty must be employed. And that was a day when God ruled. It's not a matter for the death penalty today, although surely it shows to us how serious a matter it is for children to disobey their parents. And I know the first son, since he was an Israelite, he would have been aware of that. That verse, those verses that I've just read to you, he would have known about them. And when he said, I'll not go, he began to think, I'm doing what that wicked son who deserved to die was doing. This is an offence to my father and mother. It's bringing shame upon them. And it's an offence to God Almighty. And he repented. Oh, that you might understand what an offence rejecting God's word is, boys and girls.
When he says to you, come to Christ.
What an offence it is to say no to God. Defying the voice of God can only end in one thing, as Deuteronomy 21 told us, death. God commanded the boys and the girls of Israel of old in the Ten Commandments, honour thy father and thy mother. And those who refused to do that, the death penalty followed. And let me tell you this, that's what comes of defying God's word in the gospel. Death. Death follows. Listen to me. James chapter 1, verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You defy God? That's sin. You reject the gospel? That's sin. Then what will it bring? Death. Death. The death spoken of there is the terrible second death referred to in Revelation chapter 21. I'll read you the words in the verse 8, Revelation 21. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Unbelieving, those who didn't believe the gospel, they have a part in the second death. And notice it says all liars. You see, that second son was a liar. He told lies.
I go, sir!
But went not. That was a lie. Don't tell lies to God. Don't hear the gospel and say, oh yes, I believe the gospel, but never really receive Christ as your Savior. You're living a lie, and the consequences of that is the lake of fire. It's a serious matter, boys and girls. It's a serious matter. You know, there are many who believe that such things should not be told to boys and girls of your age. Such fearful truth, such dreadful truth should not be told to you, because it might frighten you. Well, that's but the devil deceiving adults and causing them to avoid telling you the truth. Has your mummy ever said to you, don't run out into the road because you might get hit by a car and be killed? Has your mummy and daddy ever said that?
Of course they have. They don't worry about frightening you, telling you you might be killed, because they want you to know that that's what would happen if you did run into the road and get hit by a car. They warn you about fire and how it burns. They warn you about electricity and how it could kill you. They warn you about many, many things that have a serious consequence should you do what's wrong.
But the devil whispers in many a mommy and daddy and many a preacher and so-called religious leader, don't talk to children about hell or judgment. Oh, no, that'll be wrong. It would be wrong not to tell you, boys and girls, that there's an awful price to be paid for disobeying God. Oh, you give heed to the gospel. The Lord Jesus lovingly, tenderly invites you to him that you might be saved from the consequences of sin, saved from eternal damnation. Don't be like the second son who said, I go, but went not. Who said yes, but really meant no. Don't be like that. Give your heart to Christ.
Ah, even today.
Let's bow in prayer.
Lord, we pray your blessing upon the boys and the girls and upon thy precious word. May your heart be moved for them, Lord, and may their heart be moved for thee. Speak in our gathering. Take care of our school today as we draw nearer and nearer to the end of another year. We do praise thee for thy kindness and mercy toward us. Hear our prayers now. Bless staff and pupils and parents at home, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.